But you know what, Paul? I talked with the Winthrop coach and the Saugus coach, you know, present-day coaches about Thanksgiving Day games. And then I talked with Bill Hamer over at Beverly about what Thanksgiving meant between Beverly and Salem. And I want to get your take, too, on the Thanksgiving Day rivalry. But I want to go back to when you were a player, because you played on the, you know, down in the Cape. And up here, the Thanksgiving Day rivalry, when I moved to Massachusetts in 65, it was only in its second year, Gloucester, I believe, playing Danvers for its second year. And so it really wasn't, you know, that big a deal. And I believe Beverly was the, you know, the closest town to Gloucester. So that was the big rivalry at that time. But tell me a little bit about what it was like as a high school player down in Falmouth.
Well, Falmouth played Barnstable, and that was a huge rivalry. Although the towns down there aren't as close together as they are here. But Barnstable is a very big high school, and it, you know, it was a rivalry in every sport. And in those days, you know, you didn't travel too far to play games. I mean, we played a couple teams on the Cape, but Barnstable certainly was our rivalry. I believe the game is well over 100 years old.
Mm-hmm.
The two teams have played, I don't know, maybe up to 110 years or so.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a big day for everybody, and they usually get very good crowds at the games down there.
Do you remember what you felt like as a kid in that game?
Yeah, I'll never forget it. I mean, it was, you know, it really didn't hit me till after the game. We were fortunate enough to go undefeated, and that was our final game. And I, for some reason, I think today, you know, you kind of look back more than you did then. But after the game, when I walked off the field, because we played at Barnstable, and, you know, some people said, you know, came up to me and said, boy, you had a nice career. And I never really thought about it. This is the end, you know.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It might have been your last opportunity to ever play football. And that's, you know, as bad as it is, day in and day out of going to practice and how hard it is, and it's tiring. You miss it,
mm-hmm.
and I think almost everybody does. And you know, while you're there, you kind of say, "Oh my God, why would I ever miss this?" But you know, you do. And I was fortunate to go on to play at Springfield, so it was difficult. You know,
did you have any a relationship with any of the Barnstable players, you know, either during your high school career or afterwards?
No.
Not at all?
At all.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, it's very different, I think, today. You know, they didn't have all-star games like the Aganis game, and I just, you know, I knew other players, but you didn't see them except for the games where... I know, especially in Gloucester, a lot of the opponents' kids go to Good Harbor Beach.
Okay.
They do, and I know that through the beach, because some of the kids were lifeguards, they met up with a lot of the Lynn kids, too, not just local kids. A lot of the Lynn kids would come up, and they'd see each other. So they knew each other pretty well.
Okay. Now, Paul, you've seen a couple of rivalries as a coach. You saw the Beverly-Salem rivalry as an assistant coach, you've seen the Gloucester Danvers rivalry from both sides, as both an assistant coach and a head coach. And any similarities or differences in the way that you know, the games were thought of? I know that preparation you know, is incumbent upon the head coach and so on, but in terms of how you look forward to Thanksgiving, any different feeling in those towns?
Well, I thought the Beverly Salem game was really hyped up, more so than the Gloucester Danvers game when I was there, to be honest. They had quite a few functions. They had the Powder Puff game. It really seemed to be, in the crowd that was there my 1 year at Beverly, we played at Beverly, and it was just packed. I think Gloucester played Wakefield for years.
Right, right.
And then they picked up Danvers in the 60s, but I certainly remember some big games against Danvers, you know. at least, you know, that's what I was focused on anyways.
Well, they smacked you in the face one year, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They played better than we did, and we lost, and we were undefeated at the time.
You can't even talk about it now. That's how bad.
I never looked at the film, and, a lot of the boys that were on that team, I see them a lot, and we get together, and they can't watch the film.
I know. It's hard for you to talk about it right now.
Oh, I know.
Well, that's the beauty of it, but a great tradition going on, and I know that the two schools have a great respect for each other, and they do see each other, a lot of these kids in other programs.
They do.
You know, around the school year and so on, and so they do know one another in many cases, but it's still a lot of fun despite the present playoff schedule. It's still a great matchup between the Gloucester and Danvers.
Yeah, I believe so, and even though Danvers played, you know, last Friday night, I expect to be a competitive game. I think that, really it's different. It's so different because you play in the morning, it's so hyped up in the news, and you know it's your last game for most of the players. A couple will go on to play in college, but for the most part, it's your final game. So, you know, I always told the kids, I said, you play at 10 in the morning, and by noon, 12:30, it's over, and you're on your way home, and you're going to leave this locker room for the last time as a football player, and appreciate it, and, you know, don't leave any regrets on the field if you can.
You mentioned about being the last game for so many kids. As a head coach, you must have been cognizant of that fact and tried to get as many seniors in as you could.
Yes, we always did, no matter what the circumstance. I mean, I always felt like if those kids, the kids that stayed with you for two or three years on the team and weren't, lucky enough to start, but showed up to practice and made a commitment to your program, I would always get them in. And, I just felt that's something you owed to them, and they've been loyal to your program, and of course, the game is important in winning, but, in football, that's what's good about football. You got special teams, you got special situations that you can put some other players in.
Well, I expect some of the former kids will be dropping by the press box on Thursday to say hi, Paul. But final thoughts maybe on the upcoming game. What do you see as each team's strength?
Well, I actually talked with Tony Zerilli today, and, after, watching the game the other night, I think Danvers has got some bumps and bruises. But usually the flow of adrenaline takes care of that, the morning of the game. But I would say that Danvers' defense, Danvers, even after, we watched the game the other night, they're having trouble putting points on the board. They're moving the ball, but they're having trouble getting in the end zone. But defensively, they really... I just like their secondary and linebackers. I just think they're very decisive. They make a decision, and they come up and they tackle well. And I would think that last year Danvers ran that wildcat offense against Gloucester, and Gloucester had trouble stopping it. I would assume they're going to come back with that. Of course, the field conditions will be different. They'll be, excuse me, there'll be, artificial turf. So last year it was mud. Danvers. So, the other thing is, can Gloucester get to the outside? Danvers comes up so quick, and Gloucester and Danvers complete some passes. Each team has struggled in the passing game, and so I think to get people off your back, you got to complete a couple.
All right. Coach, I'm looking forward to it, so we'll see you Thursday morning around 9:30 or so.
Okay.
Sounds good. Thanks, Paul.
All right, Rick.
Happy Thanksgiving to you.